So this, we're gonna do our luncheon, but now we'll begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is on the Eucharist is the sacrament of unity. So we're now moving into reflecting on how the Eucharist relates to us and how we relate to the Eucharist and to each other through the Eucharist. If you look at chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, starting at verse 20, Jesus says, "I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." So right away, Jesus is already talking about unity at the same time he establishes the Eucharist. And so various leaders of the church have given us some insight into this. And we're going to look at Ignatius of Antioch, Pope Paul VI, and John Paul II. In chapter 8 of his letter to the Philadelphians, Ignatius of Antioch says, "I therefore did what belonged to me as a man devoted to unity. For where there is division and wrath, God does not dwell." And so right away he's talking about the unity of the church and talking against the idea of division. And of course we saw what happened later on in the 15th century. We know that unity is one of the four marks of the church, one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And Pope Paul VI said, "Nothing has ever been or is more important to the church or more consoling than the desire for the unity of all Christians, a desire which we wish to express once again in the very words used by the Council of Trent at the close of its decree on the Most Blessed Sacrament." It said, "In conclusion, the Sacred Synod, with paternal love, admonishes, exhorts, prays, and implores, through the merciful kindness of our God, that each and every Christian come at last to a perfect agreement regarding this sign of unity, this bond of charity, this symbol of concord, and mindful of such great dignity and such exquisite love of Christ our Lord, who gave his beloved soul as the price of our salvation and his flesh to eat. Believe and adore these sacred mysteries of his body and blood with such firm and unwavering faith, with such devotion, piety, and veneration, that they can receive frequently that supersubstantial bread, which will be for them truly the life of the soul, an unfailing strength of mind, so that fortified by its vigor, they can depart from this wretched pilgrimage on earth to reach their heavenly home, where they will then eat the same bread of angels, no longer hidden by the species which now they eat under the sacred appearances." I think a lawyer had to write that. It's almost a page. It's almost a page long, one sentence. The Eucharist is primarily the sacrament of unity with Jesus. Therefore, it is also the sacrament by which the unity of the church is built up and sustained. The Council of Trent stresses the role of the Eucharist as a symbol of the unity and love by which Christians are joined. Vatican II teaches that the liturgy, and especially the Eucharist, daily builds up those who are in the church, making of them a holy temple of the Lord, a dwelling place for God in the Spirit, to the mature measure of the fullness of Christ. In his Apostolic Constitution, Dominique Cene, John Paul II takes up this theme of unity and clarifies it. He says the Eucharist builds up the church. The sacrament involves both fraternal communion of the members of the church with one another and the communion of Jesus with each participant. The latter is basic, for in Eucharistic communion we receive Christ himself, and our union with him, which is a gift and grace for each individual, brings it about that in him we are also associated in the unity of his body, which is the church. So he's talking about how through the Eucharist we're united not only with God, but also with each other. And he goes on to say, "Therefore, through the Eucharist we are united to Christ, to the church, which is his mystical body, and to each other. Jesus told us in the Gospel that he is the vine and we are the branches. The sap of the vine is the spiritual life we all receive by being united to him. But since each of us is a branch of the vine, and we are all united to each other through him who is our source of life, the only way you can be separated from the other members is to be cut off or separated from the vine itself. The Eucharist can build up the church because it establishes a real communion of love, a true union which leaves individual distinction intact between each person and our Lord Jesus Christ. By the Holy Sacrament, each of us abides in him and he in each of us. It is the supreme sacrament of love. Jesus told us in the gospel, "Remain in my love." By making us one with him, the Eucharist establishes a bond of communion among us, a bond of ecclesial communion. This kind of unity in the church is like the marital unity that couples enjoy. They each retain their unique distinction as individuals, and yet by the reception of the sacrament, they become a new, unified spiritual entity. They form a new, unified spiritual being and attain a new spiritual identity as a couple, and the glue that holds them together is Christ himself. It might be objected that the preaching of the gospel, faith, and baptism constitute the church. This is the centrality of what every non-Catholic Christian church offers. They do indeed constitute the church, but only in an initial, incomplete manner, which the Eucharist alone brings to completion. Though it is perfectly true that all the baptized are united in Jesus, baptism initiates Christians by admitting them to the church, whose true inner unity is only fulfilled and actualized by their communion in Jesus and the Eucharist. In considering the manner in which the Eucharist constitutes the church, we must not overlook the unity we gain in the Eucharist with the angels and saints in heaven, all of whom are also branches of the vine which is Christ. Through Jesus, we are united with them. In the Eucharist, we share in a hidden way in their glory. Memory of the mother of Jesus and of the other saints and angels in the Eucharist honors them, stimulates our love for them, and so draws us closer to Jesus himself. Baptism is important in the manner of an admission ticket, but its potential is fulfilled in the Eucharist to which it affords admission. In its decree concerning ecumenism, Vatican II teaches that baptism therefore constitutes a sacramental bond of unity linking all who have been reborn by means of it. But baptism of itself is only a beginning, a point of departure, for it is wholly directed toward the acquiring of fullness of life in Christ. Baptism is thus oriented toward a complete profession of faith, and finally toward a complete participation in Eucharistic communion. Catholics and other Christians share in the same baptism, but the unity of the church is defective because Christ communicates, because Christian communities, which lack the sacrament of orders, cannot share in the authentic and perfect celebration of the Eucharist. Initiation into Christ and the unity of his church are brought into completion and fulfillment only in the Eucharist, the summit and source of the whole Christian life, by means of which the unity of God's people is signified and brought about, and the building up of the body of Christ is perfected. The Eucharist is a very great mystery, a mystery which Christ the High Priest instituted and which he commanded to be continually renewed in the church by his ministers. It is in the Eucharist that the close union of the mystical body of Jesus Christ with his head reaches. During this mortal life, it comes to its completion. Thus, in the sacrament of the Eucharist, the unity of all believers who form one body in Christ is both expressed and completed. Celebrating the Eucharistic sacrifice, we are most closely united to the worshiping church in heaven. Truly partaking of the body of the Lord in the breaking of the Eucharistic bread, we are taken up into communion with him and with one another. The Eucharist is the source of perfecting the church, building up the church, fashioning it into the true community of the people of God, into a congregation of believers sealed with the same mark of unity that the first apostles and disciples of the Lord shared. The Eucharist builds ever anew this community and unity, and thus the church lives by the fullness of the Eucharist. No Christian community can truly be built up and sustained unless it has its basis and center in the celebration of the Eucharist. Renewal in the Eucharistic covenant between the Lord and man draws the faithful into the compelling love of Christ and sets them afire. From the liturgy, therefore, and especially from the Eucharist, as from a fountain, grace is poured to us, and the sanctification of man in Christ and the glorification of God, to which all other activities of the Church are directed, are most powerfully achieved. The Eucharist is the Lord's pledge of hope and strength for life's journey. In this sacrament of faith, where natural elements refined by man are changed into his glorified body and blood, providing a meal of brotherly solidarity and a foretaste of the heavenly banquet of the marriage feast of the Lamb. For all these reasons, all Christ's faithful should hold the Eucharist in highest honor. In its daily consecration of the Eucharist, thanksgiving is offered to God for benefits received and for the very institution of the sacrament itself. This sacrament has a threefold significance. One, with regard to the past, inasmuch as it is commemorative of our Lord's Passion, which was a true sacrifice, and in this respect it is called a sacrifice. Secondly, with regard to the present, it has a meaning of ecclesiastical unity, in which men are aggregated through the sacrament, and in this respect it is called communion or common union. Third, with regard to the future, it foreshadows the divine fruition, which shall come to fulfillment in heaven. It is a matter of faith that following the consecration, the whole and entire Christ is permanently contained under each species and in every sensible part, however small. Thus, in every reception of the sacrament, the following effects or fruits may be received: an increase in sanctifying grace, a special grace of the sacrament or sacramental grace, which consists in a spiritual nourishment through union with Christ and his members, thus accomplishing on the spiritual plane what material nourishment or food and drink affects in the bodily life, namely sustaining, augmenting, repairing, and delighting it. It offers a rich endowment of actual graces and a strengthening of resistance to concupiscence and the inclination to sin, even when habits have been formed. It offers the remission of venial sins and restoration of spiritual strength through the stirring up of charity in this sacrament, whereby there is also a preservation from serious sin and all future sin. And fifth, the remission of the temporal punishment due to sin, not in whole but in part, according to the devotion and fervor of the recipient of the sacrament. And it gives a pledge of future glory or consummated union with Christ in the beatific vision. No one could fail to understand that the divine Eucharist bestows upon the Christian people an incomparable dignity, not only while the sacrifice is offered and the sacrament is received, but as long as the Eucharist is kept in our churches and oratories, Christ is truly the Emmanuel, that is, God with us. Day and night he is in our midst, he dwells with us, full of grace and truth. He restores morality, nourishes virtues, consoles the afflicted, strengthens the weak. He proposes his own example to those who come to him, that all may learn to be, like himself, meek and humble of heart, and to seek not their own interests, but those of God. Anyone who approaches this august sacrament with special devotion and endeavors to return generous love for Christ's own infinite love will experience and fully understand, not without spiritual joy and fruit, how precious is the life hidden with Christ in God, and how great is the value of converse with Christ. For there is nothing more consoling on earth, nothing more efficacious for advancing along the road to holiness, than the sacrament of the Eucharist. The Eucharistic sacrament is the sign and the cause of the unity of the mystical body. It inspires an active ecclesial spirit in those who venerate it with great fervor. Therefore, never cease to persuade those committed to your care, as either parent or priest, that they should learn to make their own the cause of the Church, in approaching the Eucharistic mystery, to pray to God without interruption, to offer themselves to God for the peace and unity of the Church, so that all the children of the Church may be united and think the same, that there be no divisions among them, but rather unity of mind and purpose, as the Apostle insists. May all those not yet in perfect communion with the Catholic Church, who, though separated from her glory in the name of Christian, share with us as soon as possible, with the help of divine grace, that unity of faith and communion which Christ wanted to be the distinctive mark of his disciples. It is not possible to form a Christian community which does not have as its basis and center in the celebration of the Most Holy Eucharist. Here, therefore, all education in the spirit of community must originate. It is in the secret of the Eucharist, it is in the secret of the Eucharistic source that man, chosen from among other men through God's love, must find his fruitfulness if he wants to remain faithful to his ministry and return richer in order to give to the midst of the community of the brethren. The centrality of the Eucharist means to place at the center of our thoughts and our prospects, not ourselves, our human programs, but him, the life of our lives. Otherwise, we become withered branches and clanging cymbals. During adoration vigils, your faith and love render an ardent tribute to honor the real presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is present in this sacrament with his body and blood, soul and divinity, through the sacred species. This presence reminds us that God is our faith, and is not a distant being, but rather he is a God who is very near, whose delight is to be with the sons of men. He is a Father who sends us his Son, so that we might have life and have it in abundance, a Son and our brother, who by his incarnation has become true man, without ceasing to be God, and who has wished to remain among us until the consummation of the world. That very presence in the body and blood of Christ under the species of bread and wine constitutes a commingling of time and eternity. It gives us a pledge of the hope which animates our journey. Besides being a sacramental testament of the first coming of Christ, the Holy Eucharist is actually an ongoing proclamation of his second glorious coming at the end of time. May the all-good Redeemer, who shortly before his death prayed to the Father that all who were to believe in him would be one, even as he and the Father were one, deign speedily to hear our most ardent prayer and that of the entire Church, that we may all, with one voice and one faith, celebrate the Eucharistic mystery, and by participating in the body of Christ, become one body linked by those same bonds which he himself desired for its perfection.